ready, folks. Welcome to the Poor Outdoorsman Strew Man here, Steve and Edward Robert Strusinski. I say it like that to piss off my wife, Diana. She doesn't like it when I say Steve and Edward Robert Strusinski, but that's my full name because I'm Catholic.
Do all Catholics have four names?
I have a question.
A baptismal name and a confirmation name.
Mark,
yes.
Do you know why Strew was named Stephen?
He does.
I do. I've heard the story a few times. It's
too many
fantastic.
Times. Yeah.
You want to tell the story?
Well, I think it's a good story, but it wasn't outdoors.
That's
but
okay.
Still, no, my name is Steve, obviously, and Sam's to my left. Mark is to his left, and Brandon is the man who's in control of the entire show, and thanks
Hi,
for
Brandon.
Doing that, Brandon.
Let's hey, give sorry quick... I missed your party.
Oh, yeah, we had a nice party yesterday, and you were invited, but you were...
I got
you invited
church
him?
On Saturday. Yeah, he did.
Well, he's beginning to think it's not much of a coincidence anymore, because every time I ask him to a party or something, it happens to be during his church
Yeah, I
time.
Think he knows that, and he knew that I wasn't going to be able to make it, and that's why he invited me. It's actually a really smart approach, so
no,
I got to respect
no.
that.
I'll keep on. Some one of these days when you get excommunicated from the church,
there you go.
Then you'd be free.
It's just a matter of time.
He did show up to the Four Outdoorsman pool party.
That's true. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yep. And Strew, we did hang out at the Shane Martin Alabama tribute.
Yeah,
so.
That was wonderful. Had a lot of fun there. Anyway, my name, of course, is Steve, and I was born in 1951 on the east side of St. Paul. And I'm an old guy, 69 years old, and I was born, the lady next door delivered me on the kitchen floor of my home on Rainy Street on the east side of St. Paul.
Was she a nurse?
I have no, she was just
a regular lady.
Just a regular
in
drunk
the 50s,
like
half. Women knew how to deliver a baby.
I guess
hand.
They did, yeah. She had a big old catcher's mitt, all I remember.
You remember it?
And
I was saying last night, she name, just had like a turkey platter and you just plopped on there.
Yeah.
With the baster.
wasn't
keep
this,
them moist.
This is my story, wasn't it?
Oh, that's
I
right.
Know,
you're
but
here.
We're comic
Go ahead.
Relief.
The lady's name who delivered me was Stephanie. They named me Steve. And that's why I'm Steve. We left that house when I was about 3 years old to another home on the east side of St. Paul. And I was bowling in a tournament when I was about 30 years old. I remember at Hafner's Bowling Lanes on the east side of St. Paul on Wiper Avenue. And they had the names up on top of the boards, you know, when you're bowling. A lady next to me, her name was Stephanie. I said, I'm named after a lady named Stephanie. I told her the story. She says, you're named after me. And that
was
cool.
30
years
so
later.
Crazy.
30 years later, I met her. It was kind of cool.
Did you go to the hospital after that? Or back then, did they just like, oh, he's good to go?
I'm not sure if I remember that. I imagine I went to St. John's Hospital.
Yeah, they
know.
Probably did a little check
you out.
Check, yeah. No, they got to clean you up, you know. What a mess on the kitchen floor, huh?
Yeah. Good thing it wasn't on the kitchen table.
Yeah. It wasn't on the carpet. That's good.
Thank God Chevy Chase's cousin's dog was there. Was that his cousin or brother-in-law? We had the dog always eating.
Brother-in-law, yeah.
Before we get too far, I want to personally, and on behalf of Mark and myself, thank you for yesterday. And thank Diana for all the hard work she did. It was beautiful. Great little Christmas party. The food was phenomenal.
Yeah. She goes overboard. I always gave her sass for it, but she loves it, and she's good at it. And it's overkill as far as I'm concerned, but now we've got a lot of stuff left to eat. But Mark brought some nice shrimp. You bought some stuff and a nice dessert. Dinah makes these Parmesan chickens that are to die for.
So good.
Those little hot dogs and bacon, wrapped in bacon.
She gave us a to-go plate, and it's already all gone.
That's what I'm eating tonight. Woo!
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
We already ate it today.
It's fun to have all you guys over there. We taught the kids all about money trees in the woods across the street.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Awesome turkeys.
Yeah. I told the kids that across the street from our house is a bunch of woods, and there's a couple of trees that grow money, is what I told these kids. And I said, now it's winter, so most of the money's gone, but we might see a couple of trees that still have some dollar bills on them. And, of course, I went out earlier and planted about $7 and kind of, you know, stuck them to the trees. And they went through the woods, and they started running, seeing dollar bills on trees. So it was kind of cool.
You planted $7, and we found $5.
No, we found $6. We found five, and Sam found another one on the ground. So
that's right.
So someone's going to find a dollar bill there someplace. But
that's right. Yeah, our kids, it was fun because, you know, our kids meshed, and they played together.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a good time.
Yep, Sam's got 4, and Mark's got 3, and all pretty close in age. And it was hectic in this 1,750-square-foot little one-level twin home. But, and it's funny, you know, got 1,750 square feet of our living room is probably 15 by 25 or something like that. Oh, we all sit in the little room that's 14 by 16. 16
fun,
by
though.
16.
What about that deer?
That was cool. Yeah, you tell that story, Mark.
Yeah, I was sitting in the couch, like I'm good at watching a football game, and I look up, and I looked like a nice 8-point buck was staring at me.
It was
yeah.
a nice buck.
So we had lights on. We had 20 people in your living room, and the buck was 10 feet outside your sliding glass window, looked at us. So I yelled. The kids came over, saw it. And then he kind of trotted away.
And Sam, your youngest, was like, yeah. It's a reindeer. It's a,
yeah, that was yeah. the best part. A reindeer.
It's a Christmas cool. miracle.
No, yeah. it was cool. I can't believe, you know, he must be pretty used to people that he would just walk up to a window like that.
Well, there's not a whole lot around there except the.
Or he had CWD or something.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
thanks to Steven Straczynski. Yeah. yeah. Come on. He wants some of this corn. Come on over. Say hi. But there's not a whole lot around there. There's a couple of lakes half a mile away, give or take, and there's. Not too many woods. There aren't any farm fields, but everybody feeds birds every day. You know, so these squirrels, I mean, these deer walk through the neighborhoods, I think. We see a lot of does, but very seldom we see a buck like that. It's rare. It's
that
rare.
That was a nice one.
You going to put up your new trail cam? Check them out?
I don't know how to do it yet. You guys didn't help me at all. New trail cam. I'll do it. I'll figure it out, though.
Okay.
I'll figure it out. I got to buy. Why didn't they give me a chip?
An SD card?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, none of them do.
So do I have to go to them or do I go to...
No, you can go to Walmart and pick any SD card you want.
Are they all the same?
Just don't get a micro one.
All right. Why?
Because they're smaller.
You learn something new on this show every day, pal. Laughing and learning on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Yeah, right. Just go get an SD card. Whatever, get a 16-gigabyte one or a 32-gigabyte.
And what do you prefer? The more gigabytes, the better.
If but you, yours, how
you're
often
you're
slowly
you crawling
it?
Yourself know, into going to his house and setting this up. Just so you know,
I know.
No, act dumb. That's what I've learned to do.
No. I don't know what to tell you. It's true.
So more gigabytes means better pictures.
More pictures.
Oh, more pictures.
Space. So here on the Four Outdoors, we're going to learn about SD cards. So the gigabytes is the space.
Everybody knows I'm a phony.
The class of the SD card is the quality. So I would start out, I would get a class 10.
All right.
Class 10, class 16 10. Gigabyte. And you're,
I want more than a 16.
Then get a 32.
Right. Is
and
it that much more money?
You have to hook up his Wi-Fi, and I'm telling you right now, he's not going to know what
hey,
his
no,
Wi-Fi
our, I think our
is.
Wi-Fi's hooked up now because our TV was all screwed up, and Dinah, hey, this is cute. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you doing this evening? I know that, but Diana's at home right now, and she called the TV guy because all of a sudden we are DirecTV, and Channel 11 is shut down. And you turn on Channel 11 for the last 2 weeks now and said, DirecTV is negotiating with Channel 11 for some reason that they decided not to honor this, whatever the heck it is. And it's shut down, shut down, shut down. So she calls the TV guy to come over to help us figure this thing out. He said, you can do get hooked to the Wi-Fi and you do a different... You know, I don't know what it was, and I did figure it out. But we can't record, which bothers me, because The Voice is on Channel 11. I got to watch The Voice. I got to tape The Voice. Anyway, so a guy knocks, ding-dong, the door, and he's got Diana bought, my daughter-in-law's not listening. Diana bought a nice Christmas present for my daughter-in-law, and the delivery man's there. I'll bring it in for you. Brings it in, sets it on the table. So where do you want this? And she's right about here. So he stood there for about 10, 15, 20 seconds, and he says, what about the TV? It was a TV guy, not the delivery guy. So she's thinking it's Amazon or something.
That's
you know?
Hilarious. Yeah. She's like, what is this creep?
Yeah, what's this guy standing here for? Yeah, well.
I need to tip him?
Yeah. So apparently
what about the TV?
We've got something worked out. Although you can't, in order to watch Channel 11, you have to get to a different site. And I don't know, that doesn't seem fair
to
me.
This is like a nightmare for you.
Oh, it is. But I got Channel 11 last night. But then again, if you go to Guide and try to shape Channel 11, DVR, it's not going to happen. So I don't know what I'm gonna how do I live without The Voice if I can't see it?
You're gonna have to go old school and just watch when it's on.
Or VHS.
You can't record it.
Big red button, play
button.
Oh,
you can do that.
I know how to do that. I've got VHS still.
Hook it up.
Yeah, I know. I already have it. It's hooked up. I watch movies on VHS still.
Really?
Yes. Are you surprised?
No, not at all.
Well, it's. I hooked up a hose today to the water softener with duct tape.
That's not a good idea.
It's only a drip hose. It's only a little drip hose. It's not going to wreck anything.
Yeah, it was a drip hose. You are the typical duct tape fix it.
I'm pretty good with it, pal.
What was that old show?
Red Green.
The Red Green Show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, since we do the Four Outdoorsmen radio show, should we talk about things outside of what's going on? No?
I guess.
You don't want to talk about those 10 or 15 kids who shot 40 deer in Wisconsin?
Yeah. From
and a horse?
From the Outdoor News, two groups of juveniles, they said, they must know who it is or they must have figured it out. Got accused of shooting 40 deer and a horse just driving around.
They
shot
a horse?
Yeah.
I thought they were on a horse.
Nope. Shot.
So up to 40 deer they just shot dead in the field, let them lay, and including a horse. Are you more upset about the horse or the 40 deer?
Yes. Well, Bob Krejci, I know what he would say.
Yeah. I'll see Bob tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and I will take this, maybe Tuesday, I'll take this part of it and tape it. And Bob Krejci knows what we're talking about when it comes to his love of horses. Bob Krejci is a really good friend of mine.
No,
whenever I get fired from this show, I will tell that whole story the last day when I'm kicked off this show.
Which might go hand in hand with you getting fired.
it might do that.
No, I think it's pretty awful that they shot the horse for sure. I mean, obviously, the deer is awful too. I think they're equally awful.
I think something, it makes hunters almost more upset.
It does.
You know what I mean?
Like that one that was poached on my land. I was ticked.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we shoot animals, but we do care about the animals. We care about their well-being. We care about their population. We care about how they live their lives and then just have someone just going around shooting everything.
Well, we've had stories on the show here of every, you know, hunter who sees, you know, two bucks locked up. It's not like they shoot them. They do what they can to separate them. Or you see them all the time on Facebook and Instagram of a deer hopping at the fence and they get their, you know, leg caught in the fence. And the first one to help him is a deer hunter.
And then he shoots it.
You know? Get out of here.
It's an amazing world. It's an amazing world. Hey, speaking of the Outdoor News, you saw this if you read the entire Outdoor News as well. Last week when my newspaper wasn't here, it's like, and I
you were texting all of us. Did you guys get yours?
Well,
talk about a crisis in Stru's life.
Tim
he
Spielman.
He can't tape The Voice. The Outdoor News didn't show up.
Heads are falling off.
Tim Spielman and Rob Dreisland are the boys that at the Outdoor News, and I text them both. I say, you know, what's the problem here? You know, if the show starts tomorrow, you got half of my guests come from the Outdoor News, and Tim Spielman got back to me and said, you know, the same thing. There's something going on. We got to figure it out. Well, this morning I got mine. Maybe it's yesterday. The Outdoor News said it was as a result of COVID. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was they're blaming the delivery of the newspapers on COVID. But
I have to renew my
It's delivered by the post office. Is it the post office's fault?
I don't understand.
We trust them with our votes.
Did you
fun with the boys.
Did you tell them, do you know who I am?
Yeah, do you know who I am? Yeah.
I got to renew mine. My subscription expired like a month ago.
I bet you can weasel a free one out of that one. Just mention the Outdoor News whenever we rip off their stories. Worked for me.
Yeah.
All right.
I do get yours I pay for mine.
Did you?
Uh-oh.
I know at one point I got it for free because we had some kind of promotional deal with them, but I think I paid the last time. I definitely paid. Never mind.
Forget everything I just said. Yeah,
I was just going to say. You're
telling me you couldn't call up Rod Dreisland and ask for a subscription. He would give it to you.
I have. I'm a better man than that. I've got more pride than that.
Right.
You know, this guy's earning his dollar.
He's got more pride. He's going to have you call him and get us both a deal.
Even Mark Fisher of Real Talk Outdoors pays for his Outdoor News. I can assure you that. So can pay for it, I can pay for it.
I think that comes with the Hall of Fame.
They
just give you one for life.
Yeah. It comes gold in a gold sleeve.
It's on tablets like the Ten Commandments. Yeah.
Hey, I got to give a shout-out to my buddy Al Mangine, all right? Al Mangine, I think he's listening tonight. Al Mangine is my buddy since kindergarten, and I went golfing for 4 days in Arizona, and Al was in Arizona for a couple of months. He came and had dinner with us, had a great time, and he's the guy that's going to be going through a kidney transplant. He's been waiting for, I don't know, how many years? 3 years? I don't know. And he's got close to getting some things done, and he's back in the Twin Cities going through a bunch of tests. So probably by January 6th or 7th, he will know whether or not he's going to be able to donate or just be ready for someone to give a kidney. So
your kidney?
Hopefully it's going to be mine. Hopefully somebody else jumps in and says, hey, Stru, man, can I take your place? But, he's a good friend of mine, and we'll see what happens. But
Well, you're a nice man, sir. You're technically over the age where you're supposed to donate anything.
It's supposed to be 60. They don't like more than 60.
But
maybe they're going to weed me out like
COVID. Your dedication, and I've been hand-in-hand with you through this, you've gone on diets. You've changed just about everything
gluten-free
in your life.
Yeah.
Just so you could give one of your organs to a friend. So that is
who
awesome
called
story.
You out of the blue. Who you haven't? You have. I mean, you haven't really seen him in a long time, have you?
No. I said, don't you have any family members who love you? What's going on? Why just me? You know. But
hey, but that shows your character.
That's why I had kids. It's like an organ farm.
So
they're pulling for L-Man Gene. So, buddy, welcome back to the Twin Cities. You call me January 6th and say yes or no. I'm running out of patience, buddy, and I don't want to be gluten-free the rest of my life. This sucks.
I got to hunt a new state last week.
Yeah, good for you. Where you evaded us last week. Yeah. Tell us where you were and what you were doing.
So I was in Missouri, as they say it.
As Boomer would say.
Yeah, Missouri. That's what they all say down there. But, yeah, right on the Iowa-Missouri border, the gentleman who owns the company that I'm now working for has a big farm down there, and we had a little work shindig, and then we got to do some hunting, which was awesome. And he just purchased which was kind of weird. So we get down there, and we did some whitetail hunting, and then
is it muzzleloader or
no
what?
Bow?
Oh, okay.
No, straight this on this farm he has. It's he only allows archery unless it's his kids. But yeah, he just purchased this big chunk next to him that had a high fence. And this guy, I think two owners ago, used to actually run a true high fence, have, you know, different species or whatever. Well, the guy who owns this company is purchasing and taking down the fence, right? Well, there's like four elk in there, and he legally has to shoot the elk before he can drop the fence. And
why,
so,
I wonder?
Because they don't.
Because of disease or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's hard for him and whatever. And if there was anything in that, you know, they have to clear out the animals and so we were searching these 320 acres for three elk, which was, you know, finding like a needle in a haystack because it's all woods and, you know, rolling hills. So, but yeah, it was awesome.
That's a nice piece of property, 320.
Yeah, and that's on top of what he already has too, which is, I think total he'll be right around 700 or 800.
Wow.
So he has to shoot these elk before he can take down his fence.
Yeah, yep, because
he has to find them.
Yes, yes. There was a bull in there, and he found the bull and shot that, which he, like, hunted it like a deer pretty much. But, yeah, he just got this property, too, so it's like trying to find a needle in the haystack, which was pretty cool. But, yeah, I got to hunt his farm he has now, that, you know, beautiful food plots, just tons and tons of deer. But it's so fun for me to hunt new land, and, you know, they're like looking at a map, you know, with 25 different stands. Like, all right, where do you want to go? I'm just like, put me where I'll see some movement. I don't care if I shoot one. I just want to get out. And it's beautiful.
Did you see anything?
Yeah, saw a lot of deer. Has a minimum, you know, a score that we can shoot. You know, has to be over 140 some inches.
How do you judge that? Or do you just play
Billy Moles could figure it out.
Anything close? I could not score a deer as it walked.
Yeah,
by.
I mean, So he would probably show you, if like for you, if you came down there, like, I'm not going to be able to score, he would say, okay, here's like eight deer that have walked past this. You can shoot any of these. If you see these ones, you can't shoot them.
That's so, a lot of pressure, man.
It is a lot of pressure, too, but it makes you become a trophy hunter.
I suppose it helps that it's bow. They got to be closer.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And you only want to shoot. If your mouth drops when it comes, you're going to shoot it.
Right.
So.
Hey, what number are you?
Yeah. What are you going to score?
That's a cool shot. Hey, what do you got, Mark? A couple shout-outs?
Oh, yeah, we got a couple shout-outs here, and then we're going to take a break. 1 second here. A couple of our friends wrote in. John Marshall says, sitting in the house, putting new line on, wishing I was fishing. The ice is forming, boys. It's gonna put on some inches this week. Chris Winkleman says, lots of big pike were caught last week. We're making great ice right now, 8 to 10 on most lakes. Hoping to have enough ice for the small permanents next weekend. That's Chris Winkleman up north near Ely.
Yep.
And has some great pictures of pike there.
Some beautiful pike.
So 8 to 10 inches up in the Ely area. I keep checking the pond, about 4 or 5 inches, but it should be growing. We should be ice fishing next week.
Hey, we're going to be right back. Be right back with the 4 Outdoorsman, Tom Krings from Knoxville, Tennessee. I know deer hunting season for the most part is over except for some bull till the end of the year. And Tom Krings has a deer hunting story that is going to blow your socks off. It's going to be a lot of fun. Be right back.
Checking in with the 4 Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
The 4 Outdoorsmen love Devil's Lake. Right now, it's all about ice fishing, and here, there's no walleye slot limit, and keep five a day with 10 in possession. And pound-for-pound jumbo perch are about as much fun as any fish you'll ever catch. With 165,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake assures you social distancing, and that's not going to be a problem. Hey, Kurt Walbeck of Outdoor Bound TV says, Devil's Lake is easily one of my favorite fishing hunting destinations. Wow. Check out devilslakend.com, and thank you.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy, available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's brewed for service. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers six different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at OperatorCoffee.com. Oh, did I mention it's roasted here in Minnesota? OperatorCoffee.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company. You can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
What does that ski-doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing. Oh, that was awesome!
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that ski-doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
Magnum is now hiring CDL drivers in Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Lakeville, St. Cloud, Bemidji, Duluth, and Wilmer. Full benefits, health insurance, 401k, and PTO. Go to drivemagnum.com to apply. Veteran owned and operated.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español?
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vient tu.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Hey, let's have some fun on the Four Outdoorsmen. Stu Man here, Mark, Lukey, Sam, Brandon. We've got one hell of a guest tonight. His name is Tom Krings from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Tom, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Every day's a gift, buddy. Every day's a gift. What's new in Knoxville, Tennessee?
Well, I tell you what, it's starting to cool off. We had a little bit of warmer weather up until right about today, about 60 degrees today, but it's going to start to get cool down here, and below 60 is cool for us.
What is it like in, I'm going to take my gorgeous wife, Diana, someplace in February. What kind of temperatures can we get in Tennessee in February? She needs some sunshine.
You know, it can be cool down here then. You know, we're kind of tucked in this, what they call the Tennessee Valley, in between the Smoky Mountains and the Cumberland Mountains. And it can get a little cool here. There's a lot of snow up in the mountains and that sort of thing. So I keep going south past Tennessee in February.
I heard the Smoky Mountains are gorgeous.
They're absolutely beautiful. No question about it. A lot of visitors every year. We got black bear here.
You know, when I was in college at Hamline University, we had my athletic director's name was Dick Mulkern. You're from Minnesota. You know Hamline University and all these other schools and all that. And I was going for, I've got a couple of degrees, one in English, one in physical education. And part of one of our FIAD classes was teaching people how to square dance. And all we did was laugh. And I'll never forget. And we had to call a square dance, you know. And the square dance I called was about the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I remember singing, in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the Lonesome Pine. And people would dance to that, and we would laugh so hard. Hey, what else do you want to talk about? All right, Tom, you're from Minnesota. Where were you born and raised in Minnesota?
I am from Winona, originally, right down on the Mississippi River there, southeast corner.
What? So that's a party town, pal. Did you go to school down there as well?
I did not. Right after high school, I joined the Navy, spent 6 years in the Navy. And got out of the Navy in 1986 and came back to Winona. Spent about a year there. And I was lucky enough when I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Europe in a pretty temperate climate. Most of the time was in Italy. And got back to Minnesota there. And that first winter was bad. And by the end of the second winter, I was like, you know, I think my blood thinned out when I was over in Europe. So time to move south. And I ended up moving down to San Antonio, Texas, where one of my old Navy buddies lived.
You know, I've only been to San Antonio once. The Riverwalk is the big deal down there. And I'll never forget, my wife and I were golfing with a friend of mine, Ron Mikolai. We got matched up with a single on the golf course in San Antonio, and it was windier than hell. And I said to the guy, and I know it's an old line, but I had never heard it before. I said to the guy, man, this is crazy. Is it? It's so windy. He says, no, this isn't windy. He says, sometimes it's windy, you can't believe it. He says, it's windy all the time. He said, one time about 3 years ago, the wind stopped and everybody fell down.
Well, it was a fortuitous move for me. I enjoyed San Antonio, met my beautiful wife, Vaughn, there, and she's been putting up with me for over 30 years.
Good for you, man. You're a blessed young man. So you, let's talk hunting, then we'll get back to your business ventures, what you're going through right now. You come up to, you hunted when you were younger in Minnesota. Now you're in Knoxville, Tennessee. And even when you were in the military, you came home every year to deer hunt, right?
That is correct. Yeah, I would take leave, make sure I made it home for hunting.
Boy, you're a special man. So you came up this year. Do you bow hunt and rifle hunt?
Bow hunt and shotgun, yes. Down in southeastern Minnesota.
That's right, shotgun. Right. Tell us this story. This is the main reason they got you. We read it in the Outdoor News. I tell Spielman and Driesline, these guys from Outdoor News, we steal 75% of our guests from the Outdoor News. And your story is wonderful. You came up here to bow hunt this year. Tell us this story.
Got up for opening weekend. It was pretty hot. A lot of foliage. I mean, heavy foliage out there. And I hunted the whole opening weekend and didn't see a deer. But that was okay because I knew I was going to be able to get back in October, do a little pre-rut hunting. In fact, my dad had to have a hip replacement, so I was going to come up there and hang out with him and help take care of him after his surgery. So I got back in October, mid-October, and was out bow hunting after my dad's surgery. And it was a morning hunt, and I'm on a stand, and just after, well, it wasn't quite sunrise yet. I had two deer approaching me, and they're walking towards me, and I realized it's a couple of small four-corn bucks. And so they're out in front of my stand, and I'm in a wooded area, right? I'm not hunting over a field. I'm down deep in a pass-through area where deer are going to pass through and go to their bedding. And as I'm watching these two four-corns, all of a sudden they snap their heads up and are looking behind me. And I thought, uh-oh, something's coming. And sure enough, I hear the crunching behind me. And all of a sudden, there it was. I mean, immediately down to my right side, there's this nice 10-point buck, just a really nice one. And the biggest thing I've seen on this farm ever since I've been hunting there. And so I'm kind of in an awkward position where I've been watching these four corns, and I'm facing to the left, and this buck is down to my right, and these two four corns are looking right at me. And so all of a sudden, they turn their attention to the big boy, and I kind of turn and start facing towards him, and now he's walking straight away from me. And I'm trying to get an angle on him, but, yeah, I mean, he's just a straightaway shot. And so I give him a quick burr. And he stops and kind of turns to his left and kind of looks back towards me. And so I had just behind the front left shoulder. So I let an arrow go and whack, it hit him right where I wanted it to hit him, right behind the shoulder. And he took off running. And so I had a Luminoc on that. And I could see the arrow was bouncing, kind of odd looking, right? I'm like,
hang on. Hey, Tom, hang on a second. You had what on that? What was that called?
A Luminoc.
Okay, explain that to some of our listeners.
Oh, it's just a battery-operated knock that lights up when the arrow leaves your string.
Cool.
Yeah, the compression on the knock, it lights up the knock, and you can see it in the dark. That's all.
All right. I was pretending like that was for our listeners, but I had no idea what the hell you're talking about. So thank you very much.
Sure. So I watched the deer run away, and the arrow's going with him. And so I was kind of excited, and so I called my nephew who was hunting with me that morning, and I said, hey, I just shot a nice 10-pointer. I said, you know, of course, I'm all jazzed up. And he's like, well, let's wait an hour to go track it. And I'm like, all right. You know, so that hour went by pretty slowly, you can imagine.
Oh, you bet. So, yeah.
So I finally got down, and my nephew joined me, and we started looking around and didn't find blood right away. But after about 30 yards, we spotted a drop of blood and then some more blood, and then started getting blotches of blood. And I thought, okay. But we're both looking at the blood, and I'm like, you know what, that's not lung blood. But who knows, you know, maybe I caught him behind the lungs, and maybe it's, you know, I hit something vital. Well, we spent the next 2.5 hours tracking that deer over hill and dale for 1.5 miles. And the last blood we found, which was just little drops, was just before he went straight up about 150-yard hill and jumped the fence into the neighbor's cornfield. So I was devastated, right? I mean, at this point in time, I'm thinking, oh, boy, I just wounded the biggest deer I've ever seen in my life, you know, as far as where I've hunted. I mean, it was a trophy to me. It's probably not a trophy to a lot of guys, but it was definitely a trophy to me. And I just knew that we were pushing it because it didn't bed down at all while we were tracking it. And so we just kind of resigned ourselves to the fact that, you know, he's going to get away. And I was hoping that, you know, knowing how deer can take punishment, I was just hoping he was going to survive. So we left the woods, and I resigned myself that, well, you know, maybe I'll get him to track another nice deer yet this season. So fast forward, I had to head back to Tennessee and come back to work. And next 3 weeks passed, and I got back up there for the opening weekend of the gun season. And so we get out there opening weekend of the gun season Saturday morning, kind of the same thing with archery season. Boy, was it hot. It was like 70 degrees opening day.
Yeah, it was, right.
And, my brother and my nephew and I are out there, and not a one of us saw a deer. In fact, the area that we hunt, there's so many farms in the immediate area that when on opening day of gun season, sounds like a small war going on out there, right? You hear boom, boom, just everywhere, all over the valleys and the hills and the ridges. But we didn't hear much shooting at all, and we didn't see any deer at all. And we kind of thought, okay, with this warm weather, it's probably going to be this way. The next 3 days, well, the first 3 days of the gun season are supposed to be the same. So we said, hey, guys, what do you say we make better use of our time? Let's run out to South Dakota and do some pheasant hunting for a couple days.
That's good.
Because we have a friend who has a farm out there just south of Mitchell. And so we packed up the next morning and drove out on Sunday morning out to South Dakota and hunted for a couple days. And while we were out there, the weather turned and got nice and cold. And so we came back. And on Veterans Day, November 11th, we got back out in the woods that morning. And sure enough, my brother dropped a beautiful nice 10-pointer, nice widespread, and then I shot a nice 9-pointer, and my nephew didn't get one that day, but he said, hey, guys, he said, tomorrow when you get back out here, because we're going to come back out the next day and hopefully fill our doe tags,
yep.
My nephew said, hey, you guys, go ahead and shoot my buck, and in Minnesota this year they allowed cross-tagging, so
right.
My brother and I agreed that, hey, we'll just shoot the first buck that comes by, and, you know, because my nephew was just looking for some meat. So we got out next morning. And this is November 12th, nothing moving. I mean, nothing moving. And we didn't hear a lot of shooting either. And about 10:30, I text my brother and my nephew. I'm like, all right, boys, what do we think? We going to sit this out or should we go grab some lunch? And my brother said, you know, why don't we wait till about 11:15 and then we'll pack it up. And so I sat there for another, you know, 30, 45 minutes and same thing, nothing happening. So started packing up my stuff at 11:15 and just about time getting ready to lower my pack and my gun down to the ground, I see a small fawn, and you know it was a small one, and it was probably 50 yards away and walking up through the brush. And so I just kind of watched. And I thought, okay, well maybe Mama's behind her. And so I got my gun ready. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to fill my doe tag, and I'm watching this fawn, and she works her way past me, and she's probably 60 yards up the hill above me, heavy brush, but she works her way past me about 75 yards, and I'm still looking, nothing coming. I'm like, okay, well she must have just been alone. So I start to lower my gun again, and sure enough, about that time, I see movement right where that fawn came from. I'm like, all right, well, maybe Mama is coming. So I got my gun up, I got the scope out, and I just kind of picked up the animal walking through the brush. And at that point, all of a sudden, I spotted some antlers. I'm like, oh, it's a buck. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to fill my nephew's, you know, buck tag. So I watched the buck, and sure enough, he followed the same trail as that fawn, got above me, probably about 60 yards up above me, and he got into an opening. I just gave him a quick burp. He stopped, and perfect broadside shot. Boom, one shot, down he went right there, and I watched him for a few seconds. He wasn't going anywhere. And So I text my brother, my nephew, and said, "Hey boys, I just filled Drew's tag." I said, "I'll come up and get you guys with the ranger," and I said, "We'll come back down here and get this deer out of here." So I go up and get them, and I didn't bother to go look at the deer because he wasn't going anywhere, right? And I knew where he was at, and so went up, got my brother and my nephew, and we got back down, got out of the four wheel, and we're kind of working our way up the hill through the brush, and we get up to this buck, and here it is, just a beautiful 10 pointer. I was like, "Wow, look at the size of this deer!" You know, again, just a beautiful, nice 10 pointer, a lot of character on his rack and that sort of thing. And so we drag him down, and I dress him out. We go to start the ranger up, and it won't start. The battery.
Murphy's Law. Well, yeah.
So my nephew hikes out, and he drives to the local town to get us a battery. So while he's gone, my brother and I are standing there talking about this deer. And I said, "Gosh, my brother's name's Keith." I said, "Gosh, Keith," I said, that deer looks a lot like that big buck I shot with a bow." I said, "But what are the odds of that, right? I mean, there's 1,000 acres around here for deer to run around, right?
And yeah.
This deer, that when I shot him, just thinking." But he was laying on his left side, and I thought, "Okay, I gotta roll him over and check." So I roll him over. And no noticeable wound. And I'm like, I figured it was too good to be true. And so I just kind of started parting his fur behind his front left shoulder. And sure as heck, here's a scabbed over hole. I mean, both my brother and I were just stunned. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me. I can't believe this is the same deer." Well, sure enough, after I had the deer cut up by a friend of mine who cuts up our deer for us. And after he had it cut up, I went to pick up my meat from him. He goes, "Hey, Tom," he goes, "I got something for you." He hands me my broadhead. He goes, "I found it wedged between the front shoulder and the rib cage." He goes, "Your arrow must have hit the rib cage, followed the rib cage, and then wedged up underneath the shoulder blade."
That's amazing. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Were you in the same stand both times?
I was. Yeah. I was. And that's the amazing part. You'd have thought after I hit him with an arrow, 3.5 weeks earlier, he wouldn't have come by that stand ever again.
That's the odds of that are 1 in 50,000. I mean, what are the odds of that? Especially 3 weeks later, and since it's so much, there's so much activity in that part of the state of Minnesota that someone else didn't get this deer before he came back 3 weeks later.
Oh, right. Yeah, no question. And then again, there's hunting all over that immediate area.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark. Sam's got a question.
The nice thing about that is now that animal was okay, but you harvested him, and it makes you sleep a little better at night knowing that it all worked out.
You're absolutely right, Mark. I was absolutely sick from the time I shot that deer to weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
And I even wrote my story. I said, I just resigned myself and forgot about it. But no, I thought about it every day. It just bothered me terribly that deer was, possibly dead out there. But again, I was hoping for the best.
It's amazing how tough and resilient. Can you imagine having a broadhead wedged in between your shoulder and rib cage?
Oh, no.
I wouldn't be walking around looking for women, that's for sure.
No, can't even imagine.
Oh, that's wonderful. I tell you what, now you're down in Knoxville, Tennessee. How did you end up down in Knoxville from Minnesota or San Antonio? We have two minutes.
Yeah, it's a roundabout way, but I'll tell you, with business promotions with companies that I work for and that sort of thing, but ultimately, I ended up here in the Tennessee area, and I'm just a little south of Knoxville, but I've been here about 17 years now.
I know you have a number of Panera restaurants. Good for you. Be proud of yourself. Do you have any Paneras in the Twin Cities?
I do not. Those are all company-owned stores. Our stores are in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana.
Okay. It's a great restaurant, man. I mean, we have one right by our house, and I'm sure they all have the same guidelines to a certain extent, but I love your soups, and there's an avocado bacon breakfast sandwich that is so good, man. It's Panera's, well, good for you, man. I'll tell you what. If you guys, anyone wants to read about this, you have to go to last week's issue. Find the Outdoor News from the last issue. Tom contributed to the story to the Outdoor News in Minnesota, and it is well worth reading. And the story to come from your lips is even much more memorable. What a thrill for you. Are you going to have this thing mounted?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yep. I got at a taxidermist, and everybody I've talked to said, "Hey, you've got to keep that broadhead."
Oh, yeah.
Mount it with the story and everything else. So there's definitely some provenance that's going to go up with that mount.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Tom. Next time you come up to the Twin Cities, give me a call. You've got my cell phone, or I'll meet you someplace, and we'll be us hunting and fishing. I know you do a lot of fishing as well. You are the right kind of guest for the four outdoorsmen. It's been a thrill to have you on the show, and thanks for taking the time, and congratulations on your business.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself, and we'll get back to you. And we'll stay in touch. I promise you that. I'll be a pain in the ass. I'll be bothering you every couple of weeks. Take care of yourself, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Tom, take care. Well, it's Tom Krings, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Maybe you can meet him at a Panera for lunch.
I'll take him to a Brugger bakery. Something like that. Hey, we're going to be right back with Mike Raitz. Mike Raitz is the real deal. He's a Clam Outdoors guy. He's a guide. He's a promoter. He does all kinds of things. Be right back with the Fortin Outdoorsman.
Magnum is now hiring CDL drivers in Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Lakeville, St. Cloud, Bemidji, Duluth, and Wilmer. Full benefits, health insurance, 401k, and PTO. Go to drivemagnum.com to apply. Veteran owned and operated.
True Man here for one of our favorite fishing destinations, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. With plenty of guiding services, you'll have every opportunity to catch your limit of walleyes or jumbo perch, or both. Find out why Devil's Lake has earned the reputation of being the perch capital of the world and also being ranked one of the top five fishing destinations in the United States. It's great fishing, hotels, restaurants, and great people. Hey, go have some fun. Book your trip by visiting devilslakend.com. Thanks.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at mckaysdodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to small because we do it all.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the Four Outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
Are you ready for some ice fishing? Neil Freeman here to talk about our annual Bob FM ice fishing trip to Ballard's Resort. It's coming up Sunday, January 24th to Wednesday, January 27th, 2021, and we're going to go catch a bunch of walleye and sauger on beautiful Lake of the Woods out of Ballard's Resort in Baudette. Now, it's a little different this year. You provide your own transportation. There'll be no bus ride, but once you get there, everything is the same. All your meals are included, 2 days of guided ice fishing, all your ice fishing equipment, sales tax, lodging tax, all included for one price, $500 per person, and that's 3 nights accommodations this year rather than two. We'll stay Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, come home Wednesday morning. So get your friends together and sign up today. All the information is available at mybobcountry.com, and come join me for some great ice fishing in January 2021. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Ballard's Resort.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Stru Man here, Four Outdoorsman. Got a hell of a show, a lot of fun. And after us, make sure you listen at 7 o'clock to the Real Talk Outdoors. Those guys are on from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. They're a lot of fun as well. Hey, Mike Raitz is our next guest. Hey, Mike, thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you are the real deal. You know, I've been looking at your bio and all that kind of stuff, and I love it because it says he's a, like, I'm not sure if it's Facebook or not, but he's proud of himself. He's a guide. He's a promoter. This is Mike Raitz. He's attorney, angler, and he's an athlete. That's what it says. Ooh. He's an athlete. Are you an athlete, Mike?
I think so, right? We've,
yeah.
we have to work pretty hard in the winter during the tournaments ice fishing, so I think we're all kind of athletes.
Well, I tell you what.
Is that like a bowler's an athlete kind of deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to work for it a little bit.
How you doing? What's new with Mike Rates?
Not much, man. Just doing some fishing. We just got back. You know, yesterday we went out and took a trip up north. We've been doing that the past few weeks, staying up north around the Black Duck area, and then just kind of searching around, going to lake, looking for ice and looking for fish. And we've definitely been scoring, so it's been good.
Now, you like to fish places where a lot of people just don't like to work that hard to get to. Am I correct?
Yeah, I enjoy doing that. I like the backwoods lakes up north and all stuff. Right. You know, they can be a real pain to get into. Like the one we were in yesterday was a real pain to get into. But, you know, sometimes it's a hit or miss. You know, you go into some newer lakes too, and you put the work in to get back there. And that's, you know, sometimes you're moving trees, you're doing stuff like that. But the reward can be great. You know, so that's why we do that.
Hey, tell us what you're talking about going. You had some concerns about getting through the woods. It was a pain in the butt this last time. Why? What was the problem?
Yeah, so actually yesterday when we got there, they had done a major clear cut. But then, you know, there was still a lot of debris left on the trail and stuff like that. And I don't have a four-wheeler. I drive a snowmobile. So I got to find out what it was like to climb logs with a snowmobile yesterday. It actually worked out pretty well. What's that?
Did you wreck the machine? Is it rideable?
Oh, yes. Nope, it's rideable. We did fine. We took our time, and, you know, some of the stuff we had to move out of the way to get going, but for other stuff like branches and then smaller trees and stuff, we were able to go over those. Just take your time going through it, and, you know, you get there when you get there. Yep. You know, it's not a race, so.
Hey, Mike, Mark here. How thick of ice are you comfortable with a snowmobile?
With the snowmobile, I get pretty comfortable with, you know, around 6 to 7.
Okay.
That's when I'm okay with it. And the reason is because there's so much weight distributed throughout the whole machine with the skis and then the long track. So I'm able to distribute the weight out a lot farther. So I feel pretty comfortable at that time bringing it out there. But I'm still, you know, always checking the ice. I'm not, you know, comfortable just taking off and going. You stop a little bit and you go out and check it just to make sure. Yeah, especially this time of the year, and, you know, this year itself, you know, ice has been really different. I'm hoping to get around home here and go fishing for the first time next weekend, so then I can stop making the 3.5-hour drives north.
How big was the lake you went fishing on last time, and how many inches was the ice?
So we had 6 to 7 inches of ice.
Oh, you did?
And I would say it was a, you know, 100-acre lake. You know, that's what we've really been focusing on too, is we haven't been spending too much time looking at bigger lakes. It's been 200 acres or less. And if we can find one even smaller than that, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, we were on a lake that was probably, I think it was 52 acres or something like that. And that had 4 inches on it. And that was that first weekend we were out too. So that was pretty nice to find, but that's been our big focus lately is that,
you know, I had a chance
up north.
Go ahead.
Yeah, with up north, things are starting to freeze up good there. Still the bigger lakes, from what we've seen, they're still questionable. You know, you got to take your time getting out there. But for the most part, those smaller lakes, especially the ones that are back in the bush and kind of surrounded by trees and covered up, those have got some good ice on them.
You know, last summer, in fact, I've done it twice now. There's a gentleman up in the Brainerd area. I don't want to say his name or even where we went, but he took myself and Nick Fairbanks and Bob Krejci out. The same kind of thing, and going through the backwoods, and he's got a number of lakes up there. And we fished a lake that was 11, it was not more than 12 acres big. And these guys, Sam and Mark, know this. I told this on the show a couple of years back. And we caught some nice fish, and there were northerns caught over 30 inches in this 12-acre lake. And I can't believe that thing does not freeze. It's not more than 12 acres, I can assure you that.
Yep, and that's what's weird is some of those lakes back there, they don't do that, but then you have the others that winter kill. And I think it's just maybe streams coming in, you know, the springs, things of that nature. the one we were on a couple weeks ago, I believe it had a winter kill here a couple years ago. Or, you know, probably, I wouldn't say a couple years ago, but probably, you know, 5, 6, 8 years ago. And so we actually went there looking for bluegills, and we never found a single one, but we ran into some nice crappies and some really, really nice perch. So that definitely kept us busy all day long.
We had who did we have a couple of weeks back to promote the virtual fishing
Doug,
thing?
Doug Glimmerveen.
Yeah, but you guys were involved. You were involved with the Shields Virtual Ice Fest, weren't you? How did that go? That's the first time you guys had to do that. How did that go?
That went really good. You know, it was kind of, you know, goofy because it's not something that you're used to doing, but there was so much engagement to it. And it was one of those things where you also, you know, this time you didn't need to get up and go to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to just, you know, check on Facebook, things like that. And it went really good. You know, we had seminars throughout the entire week. Plenty of great names. You know, Matt Klug was one of them. You know, it just went really good. A lot of prizes that were given out and just, you know, really got people buying and ready to rock and roll for the season because, as you guys can see, going to the stores now, it's really hard to find anything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. I tell you what, one of your good friends, Thane Jensen, said, hey, if Mike's going to be on the show tonight, ask him about what he has his iPhone set up to call him. What's he talking about?
Set up to call Thane?
That's what it says, yeah. What's it say? Hello, Crappie? Hello, Crappie Slayer, right?
Yeah, the Crappie Slayer, yep.
So who's the Crappie Slayer, you or him?
Apparently I am, but I'm going to say Thane was and say that he set it up like that.
And he also told me to ask you about the Rates Meister. What's that all about?
That's just a nickname. I don't know. The guys at work gave it to me one day at Clam, and that's just kind of how it stuck. It's always been that way.
Well, since you mentioned the Clam, the
lots
word
of
Clam.
Lots of little nicknames, you know. Yeah. And I had that from back in the day, too. That's what my friends called me and things like that.
What are your responsibilities at Clam?
What are my responsibilities at Clam? Well, yep. What I am is I'm the production lead there, and then also I supervise the build line. So I take care of all the houses that anybody sees going to the stores. I have a group of guys, and we build out 600 to 1,000 houses a year.
Wow.
That go to all the stores for the displays. And we, you know, it's fun because you get to see the first products when they come in. You get to check them over, make sure everything's good to go, and, you know, build it out. And that's what I love doing. It creates new ideas for the next stuff to come, too. So.
Cool. Hey, Mike, are those 40th anniversary white Gens shacks, are they flying off the shelves? Those look so cool. I've seen them all over on Facebook.
Oh, yes, they are. They're flying right off the shelves. They've been really big this year. We're running out at work here. You know, we sold a ton of them this year, and we've had a bunch of reorders. And it's cool to see that. I mean, to see that house, you know, people really engaged into it and bought it. I mean, that's the staple of ice fishing right there as you see it, you know. So from the scout and just from what Dave built himself. And, you know, I have one myself. So, and I bought it, and I don't ever want to get rid of it.
We're talking with Mike Rates. He's with Mike Rates Outdoors. He's a Clam Outdoors guy as well. He does it all. You talked about early fishing. I know you were an addict about early ice fishing as much as any other kind of fishing you do. Tell us what was working. Give us some tips as to how to go about fishing in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. You know, they're in their typical spots right now, and those typical spots that you're going to find are, you know, the break leading off into that deep basin right on that edge. You know, things like that, because what they're doing is right now is they're moving off during the days and they're coming up shallow in the morning. So, you know, if you can find a weed bed with a steeper break to it leading off, you know, onto a shelf, I mean, you're good to go. You know, we've been finding a lot of our fish between 19, you know, and 26 feet of water. That's been the big thing. They've been really suspended, and they've definitely been on the move because that's what they're doing. They're just traveling right now, looking for food, things like that. You know, some of the good colors for us have been, for me, it was white. It was a size 14 drop jig. And then I was using what they call the fathead color of the Mackie minnow. And I was just cutting off half of it because these ones yesterday were pretty lethargic. It kind of felt like your typical midwinter bite when they just really weren't cooperating. I mean, we had a front coming in. So, I mean, but we kind of assumed that it was going to kick into high gear, but it never really did. But we did catch a lot of fish. You just had to be slow about your presentation. Don't go too fast. Don't go too heavy. And just keep it, you know, keep it simple. And they were definitely biting. So we caught some really big crappies, caught some very big bluegills. Biggest bluegills just went over 10. And I think our biggest crappie reached around 13, 13 and a half. You know, not monsters, but, you know, very, very respectable fish.
You aren't kidding there. I tell you what, now you do some tournament fishing as well. You remember the North American Ice Fishing Circuit and also the Ultimate Panfish League. Has COVID affected you guys in that area?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be different. Matt's working on kind of the way he's going to pull it off this year and things like that. I ran my own Bass Series this summer for the first time, the Bass Central Super 6.
Attaboy.
I definitely had to make some changes myself. And, you know, it's just kind of following the rules right now. I'm still able to pull it off very easily. It's just kind of, you know, the, you know, anglers themselves just have to have the patience, you know, with the people running the events, and everybody just got to work together to make it happen. But it definitely can happen. And hopefully we can get back to normal here soon.
You know, speaking of bass fishing, you owe me one, pal. I've known Mike for 6 or 7 years since we started the show, and every time I go to Clam to pick up a fish house for the sportsman's dinner or something, and I stop and say hi to Mike, and last time I was up there, we were going to go to lunch, and you had to bail out on us. I don't know why, because you're a big shot at Clam and pretty busy guy. But every time Mike and I have an opportunity to take me smallmouth bass fishing, I want to go up on the river someplace by St. Cloud, wherever you go, and I want to catch a 5-pound smallmouth. I would love to give it a shot. But the last time it was, I was all set to go, and I'm up at 3:30. I'm going to meet you someplace up by St. Cloud. And it was raining like a son of a bucket, you know, and I was all that excited, and you text me, and I called you back, and you said, well, we can go, but even if it stops raining, there's not going to be a whole lot happening. And I was, what do you do at 4 o'clock in the morning? You're not going back to bed, I'm gonna take advantage of it. You owe me a rain check.
Nope, definitely, buddy. Let's do it this summer. Yeah. We'll go out and catch them.
We'll plan on that. What's the next fishing trip for you?
Next fishing trip for me, I'm hoping next weekend I can fish around home here and hit some of my local lakes. You know, that's just kind of been the big thing right now, just kind of watching the ice. And, you know, this last week it really wasn't favoring. So I'm thinking I'm going to head out west. There's a couple of lakes that I enjoy a lot next weekend here. And finally, I don't have to drive an hour. You know, I can get up at 6 and still be there by 7.
Okay. You know, we're talking about you like to go where places aren't. Obviously, Red Lake was not on your bucket list radar last week, because we talked to Steve Carney and John Thielen. They were both up there, I think, and they said John Thielen said it was like fishing at the state fairgrounds. He said,
"Oh my gosh!"
I'd go crazy. How do you determine the lake you just went to on your snowmobile? There is no public access to this lake, right?
Yep.
All right.
Correct.
How do you determine which lakes there that you're going to go to when you go backwoods fishing, and where do you find those lakes? How do you find those lakes?
Okay, yeah. So basically what I do is I use Google Maps. It's a huge resource for doing that. And then I also use the Minnesota DNR Lake Finder. And so it kind of works twofold here. What I'll do is I'll go into the Minnesota DNR Lake Finder to look up the information about these lakes. I want to know the size of the bluegills. If I see, you know, 10 or even 5 or 6 that are, you know, over 9 to 10 inches, that gets my interest, you know, and I'm also looking for the smaller ones, the smaller lakes itself. And then also with the Google Maps, that's where I kind of go in and figure out, you know, if there's no public access, is there some walk-in or some travel, some way I can get into that lake? And for the most part, there's a lot of trails and stuff like that that go in. You know, you got to watch where you're going, because some people own the properties and stuff like that. So,
right.
But for the most part, you know, you just use that Google Map to identify the lake, where it's at, to figure out where you can get in. And what I do is I go onto the Minnesota DNR Lake Finder, and I just look up all the information and see what I've got for fish. And when the surveys were done, you know, things of that sort. And you just kind of just do your homework, you know. And then a lot of the lakes, they don't have mapping for them. So what you do is you just use your old instincts and look at the shorelines. And that can really decipher, too, on what happens if you've got a, you know, flatter area, or if you've got an area where it leads up into a basin. So
you are the real deal. Mike Rates, if you guys have any questions for Mike, go to Mike Rates Outdoors. You can see him on Facebook as well. Any questions about him guiding you, any fishing tips, Mike will answer your questions. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about fishing with you sometime, and we will get out. Might be this winter, but I'm more of a summer guy, but I'm ready to do it, pal. So thanks for taking the time of being on the 4 Outdoorsman. Yeah. Say hi to our buddy, hey, Thane Jensen, would you?
That sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Right, take care, buddy.
Yep,
he's the real deal.
Awesome. Well, let's thank our sponsors while we can here.
I'll say Devil's Lake Tourism. Boy, I tell you, we got to make time. We're going to go up there in February, let's say, to Devil's Lake. It's the best place in the world. Bucket list for me, pal. Devil's Lake Tourism.
Thank you, Cats Covers. Thank you, Power Lodge. Go get a sled for the ice fishing season at Power Lodge. What else we got?
We got McKay's Dodge Jeep and Chrysler up in Waite Park. And then we also have our friends at Operator Coffee.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what, that's about it. Hey, let me ask you a question, Mark.
Yeah?
If you had a 12-year-old son who was sitting on his butt on a Saturday, a beautiful afternoon, playing games on his iPad, what would you say to this kid?
I'd say, get outside and make some memories.
That's what I would say.